Being able to call my dad a piece of ish has been surprisingly liberating, and not in this vindictive kind of way. It feels cathartic, powerful, and I hope in time totally relieving over the fact that he actually was. In essence, I'm giving myself the freedom to call my father a horrible human being, which he was, along with so many other toxic relationships, because I never really had the permission to do so. I had to call them flawed and at best myself a sensitive person lacking selectivity. The problem is that neither label fits truthfully. They were bad people that I chose because I was bad to myself, which means I was not that good. Growing up, my parents were obsessed with making sure I knew I was flawed. For my mother, it was all her frickin' Aquarius placements flaring up to make sure she gave me lessons on how to be a good person. To my father, it's just that he was such a terrible one. And no one will be louder and more arrogant about what it means to be good than a bad person. For God's sakes, Donald Trump leads with evangelicals. I always wondered if my mother's obsession with making me a virtuous human being was some odd response or acknowledgement to the fact that my father was not. I had to overshare and be so transparent I might as well have been a Ziploc bag to compensate for how he muddied everything that came out of his mouth. I had to be so genuinely kind to prove I was not a con or had a trick or scheme up my sleeve. It was overwhelming because I could see my self-perception changing through time to be a child that was good into an adult that did not feel like that anymore. There we were, Yali, Josie, and our special guest star, Gigi, drinking up a pregame to go to the club and potentially hoe it up. Yet you cannot get a group of Latinas in a room with liquor and the safety of no men and not somehow discuss how men make us feel unsafe. What surprised me was Yali and Josie's reveal. Part of Gigi's oppression was that she came from a good family, an unfortunate run-in with a arpist, you know the word, would change her perception of the world. Meanwhile, Josie had mentioned that our fathers shared mujeriego tendencies and their sheer aloofness and abandonment of us, especially as their chosen scapegoat amongst their many kids. Yet Yali's dad was a bigamist as well, having a whole other family in his native Honduras. Out of all of us, I was the only one that cut their toxic father off, but they had each, minus Gigi, begun questioning the purpose of such a dynamic and whether or not it played into the poor men they chose to love them, or rather, to love. "My mother just always taught me to be nice to him," Josie said as she guzzled her michelada. "Mine too," I corresponded. "She said if I was nicer to my dad, he would be less mean. And now I literally think I say that as an affirmation before I start a 3-year relationship that ends with me demanding my ish back." "You do that too, Yali," Josie said in her typical banal bluntness. "You always make like the men in your life to not really hurt you, when clearly they destroy you." "Are you talking about my ex?" Yali replied, knowing she was, and clearly upset about it. She had yet to even sip her Prosecco, her favorite drink. "Who else?" "Oh, God," sighed Gigi. "Here we go." "He helped me through a crisis with my family and took care of me when I was sick," she responded quickly. For Yali, looking back at her ended marriage was like looking for scraps in a trash can. She needed to find some things that made so many years of pain worth it, and some of us had found it annoying. We lived under the shadow of her marriage, watching her ebb and flow in rage for us, the world, even for herself, but never truly for him, despite him being the main trigger for all her anger and depression. She would turn to us, even feeling suicidal. We thought the breakup would trigger more celebration and genuine self-awareness and vulnerability from her. Instead, she was still hiding. Acting. I think it's hard to call out our villain. I think it's hard to call our villain villains, actually. We were so trained to believe it was bad to call bad people bad. I regret that. I never got to tell my dad he was evil, and even if he denied it, I should have said it loud and clear for me. With so much sugarcoating over all the ish he gave me, I feel like neither of us would ever fully acknowledge what he did. But especially me. "I feel we say it," affirmed Gigi. "We don't say it loudly or aggressively, but we do say it. I say no. I said no. she said with a sudden downtrodden tone. Her ARP, you know what that means, had left her consistently wondering if she was the most naive, dumbest person to trust a man. The odd part is that question was defining our lives. Were we stupid or were they evil? So I wrote this episode. I was really shocked. You know, your friends are... A good friend allows you to speak your truth and do so in a way that you even learn more about it. And I'm very blessed to have some really wonderful people to call my friends. And, you know, I've been... I have a problem with oversharing. I talk about it in Daddy Recovery. I've been very forthcoming, and that has endangered me in a lot of relationships, because the more you tell, the more people want to know. And I've been lucky to find a few good friends that actually see that as intriguing and something worth protecting. And it opens them up even more. And I think, you know, that night we were pre-gaming, and of course the topic of men comes up. You get a bunch of Latinas getting a little twisted, ready to go get some good men, hopefully. And we end up talking about the bad ones that came before. And it was just really surprising to see them bring up their daddy issues. And at the time, nobody knew I was doing daddy recovery or thinking about it. So it was this moment of like, huh, like, you know, wow, my good Judys, my good girls, they've got their daddy issues that really affect them. Yali, I love her to death, but she's consistently, she's not the type, I wrote an episode of Daddy Recovery about how every person has at least one best friend that feels like a younger version of their parent. And Yali is exactly like my mom. They are just the smartest people to not want to talk about feelings, to not acknowledge their feelings, except in really eruptive ways. And that's been really hard in the aftermath of her marriage, because she really relied on us as this emotional stability that she wasn't getting from her marriage. And, you know, it was an up and down. You know, she would be very forthcoming and tell us all these horrible things. And then she would hide again and act like she didn't, and act like we were trying to separate her. And it was a lot. The marriage ended, and we kind of thought, you know, we're going to all heal, because we needed a little healing too. We went through this marriage with her. We became her emotional punching bag / blankets. And she's still not the most honest. She has a few breakdowns and we hold her, but she doesn't really want to say it was a bad marriage and that he was a bad guy. And I think that one thing that I have realized with Daddy Recovery is that you're so trained to believe, especially women, in terms of their aunts and their mothers and the other women in their life, that you don't call men evil. You call them flawed. They're not bad guys. They're just lost and they just don't understand. Their privilege confuses them or doesn't make them see how they could do better. That's the whole perk of privilege, right? And I don't think that's necessarily true. I think there are really great men. I'm sure I do know that privilege can blur you. Privilege can, you know, be about the privilege to be a villain, and my dad suddenly took it. But my job as a human being and as a member of the underprivileged is to protect myself, to heal myself, and find the good. And I've always felt like, because I was so chastised, not only by him, but the fellow women in my family, to never say he was evil, even though he was committing all these heinous acts. And it's not about the addiction and the bigamy. It was the verbal abuse. And it was just, you know, my dad really loved to take money from us and then cut us off financially. You know, when he was in a high, he made us lower. And he did it with glee. And that always stuck out with me, how much he enjoyed our pain. And I wasn't allowed to call him a villain when that's textbook villainy. And now I see that that trait, that lesson, that training defined so many of my relationships. And it makes me wonder, if I had just called the villain a villain, I would have left his dark cave, his lair, much sooner. And that's really scary for me. Because then I have to acknowledge accountability. I have to, you know, not become so resentful of how I was trained. I have to heal, and I have to make sure I never do that again. But